Thank the Lord for the privilege of being in this meeting. The song says, "Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong." Have you ever been tempted? Do you ever get tired of being tempted? I want to tell you the day's coming that we won't be tempted anymore. We're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Sometimes we can wonder, what's the purpose of all this anyway? Well, I'd like to share with you in James chapter 1. James 1 and 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So see, even though we may be tempted and tried, if we are overcoming our temptations, something good is working in our life. It is working toward the perfection of us as Christians. Our spiritual maturity, there is dross that is being worked out of our lives by going through difficulties. It is like Brother Marty spoke about just a few moments ago, how an athlete will endure some pain for the purpose of accomplishing a goal. So it is with temptations. Let's move on down to verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." There is a progression associated with temptation, and I'd like for you to notice what that is. First of all, we have enticement. Then we have conception. And we have sin. And finally, we have death. Hope you can see that. This is the progression of temptation. Enticement. It comes in many forms. For Eve, it was the fruit. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the first step in temptation is enticement. It said she saw the tree, that it was good for food. Well, food is good for you, isn't it? We desire food. That's a natural desire to want food. And it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise. Isn't it good to be wise? See, there are some things that were enticing Eve to partake of the fruit. And so she ate and gave to her husband, and he also ate. For Eve, the enticement was the fruit and the things that it offered her. For Samson, the enticement was Delilah. How can you say that you love me when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Samson was a very strong man, yet Delilah seemed to know exactly where his weakness was. She knew how to entice him, and she did it with an appeal for love. All of us have weaknesses in different areas, and Satan knows exactly where your weakness is. And he knows how to use enticements to try to break through that weak part of your armor. I imagine that when she was asking him, "How can you say that you love me?" she was using every feminine charm that she could. Looking into his eyes and saying it in a soft voice and all of that, trying to break down the strength that he had. For David, it was Bathsheba. I want you to notice that the temptation and fall of David came during some of David's idle time. Did you know they say an idle mind is the devil's workshop? Have you ever noticed that if your mind is idle, then you can be tempted? Unlike when you are preoccupied doing things that you ought to be doing. But if you find yourself in a lot of idleness, that is a time that you need to especially be watchful, because that's a time that the enemy can work on you and entice you, bring you into temptation. The mind works to fill the void when you're idle. The mind doesn't like to be bored. So in your hours of idleness, a part of filling that boredom can be the enemy coming in and presenting something to entice you. If an idle mind is the devil's workshop, it'd be a real good idea for us to be about our Father's business. You remember what Jesus told his mother when they came back to Jerusalem looking for him? "Wished ye not that I be about my Father's business?" If we find ourselves with too much idle time, with idle minds, maybe we need to ask the Father, "Father, what do I need to be doing about your business to fill up some of this idle time?" For Balaam, it was the wages of unrighteousness. The children of Israel were come up out of Egypt, and King Balak saw this massive army, and he had heard what they had done to other kingdoms, and he was afraid. Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22 and 5, "He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call to him, saying, 'Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed.'" Now, imagine if you're a man of God, and a king sends messengers to you. How would you feel? Pretty important, right? And furthermore, the message from the king is, "I've heard about you, that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." If you like the honor of man, how do you feel? Sounds pretty enticing, doesn't it? The king has just honored me. The king has just sent messengers. Wow. Verse 12, "And God said to Balaam, 'Thou shalt not go with them, Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, notice this, more and more honorable than they. If we couldn't get to Balaam with those princes, let's send some men of greater authority and let's send a larger number. Let's make him feel all the more important. You see the way the king was trying to entice the man of God? And they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. Do you know the devil knows exactly how to entice us? He knows exactly what our weaknesses are, what our natural tendencies are. He knows the natural desires that God has given us. And he knows exactly how to work with those to try to get us to fall. I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Wow, the price has gone up now, hasn't it? Come, therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would offer me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Should have been the end of the matter. But what does he go on to say? Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night. Do you see any mistake here? God said don't do it, but stick around, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Well, Balaam ended up going ahead of the Lord's commandment, going ahead too early. Verse 37, And Balak said unto Balaam, Did not I earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. I am able to promote you to honor. The praise of men, position, power. Enticement is what he was using. Temptation comes in many forms. People have been enticed in different ways. For Eve, the fruit. For Samson, it was Delilah. For David, it was Bathsheba. For Balaam, it was the honor of man, the wages of unrighteousness. What is it for you? Maybe it is the entertainments of this world. Maybe it's wealth. Maybe it's position in life. People admiring what you have accomplished in life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's hatred for someone else. Revenge for your enemies. I don't know what the devil is working on you with. For other people, maybe it is drugs and alcohol. A life of partying. The devil uses so many things to entice people. And then we have the next stage in the progression of temptation, and that is conception. In Mesa Verde National Park, think Arizona, New Mexico, somewhere in there, explorers found pottery that the ancient Indians had put into a cave. And in that pot were kernels of corn still preserved. Now, the corn never grew. Do you know why it never grew? Because it had no soil and no moisture and no sunlight. You can have a seed that will stay indefinitely as a seed as long as you don't put the right ingredients in with it. But you put soil, you put moisture, you give sunlight, and you are going to have growth. You're going to have multiplication. You are going to have conception. And so it is with temptation. Now, the devil may try to plant a seed in your heart. If your heart is a receptive heart, and you allow that seed into the soil of your heart, and you allow it to be moisturized, you allow sunlight, then it will conceive, it will multiply, and you'll have more on your hands than what you ever realized. Conception. Jesus taught us about this in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, if there is conception. As long as you keep that corn of wheat isolated and don't allow it to have the ingredients it needs, it's not going to grow. As long as you keep your heart properly guarded, sealed by the Holy Spirit, as long as you keep the blood of Jesus applied on your hearts, then the seeds that Satan is trying to sow in your heart will never have opportunity to grow into sin, the conception of sin. So we have enticement, we have conception, and then conception brings forth sin. Now we have three definitions of sin. One is found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. Another definition of sin is unrighteousness. 1 John 5 and 17 says all unrighteousness is sin. The third sin is a type of sin we call the sin of omission. James 4 and 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the purpose of temptation is to draw us into sin, to cause us to commit a known violation of God's law. What does sin produce in our life? Death. And there are two types of death. There is an instantaneous spiritual death, where the Spirit of God leaves us. There is another death that is even more serious than that, and that is eternal death, eternal damnation. Modern Christianity says, you sin, I sin, we all sin. In fact, Apostle Paul said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So that's what folks are saying in the churches today, that we're all sinning. But I would like to share with you what the Word of God says. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you tonight, those of you that are here, do you believe that this is the inspired Word of God? May I share some of it with you? All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. May I ask you to do something a little bit different? If a president walks in to Congress to give a State of the Union address, the people stand. Why? To respect the office of the presidency. I have been in worship services before when people have read the Word of God and had the audience stand to show respect. Would you mind standing, please? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You can repeat that with me if you would like. God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You may be seated. What kind of attitude should we have towards sin? When Satan comes enticing us, when Satan is trying to put a seed in our heart and get us to let it conceive, what kind of attitude do you think that you and I ought to have? God forbid. There's no way I'm doing that, Satan. I don't care. You offer me all the riches of your kingdom. You offer me all the pleasure that this world has to offer. You offer me all the honor. You offer me anything you want to, Satan. God forbid. First Corinthians 10 and 13. A wonderful promise. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. When we are following the Lord, we will be tempted, just as Jesus was tempted. But every time, God is going to make a path of escape, and our only job is to take the escape path. That's all we have to do. Every time. Here's your escape path. You want to escape? Here you go. And by the grace of God, we can overcome every temptation. I believe in good news. I believe in victorious Christian living. I don't believe the bad news that folks are spreading around claiming you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners. That sounds like bad news to me. Gospel means good news. You mean I don't have to sin anymore? That's good news to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to give me victory. I want to testify to you tonight. I know what it's like to fall into temptation and to sin. I know. I have experienced it. My testimony tonight is God has set me free. That I am overcoming the devil and the seeds of sin that he tries to plant into my heart. By the grace of God, I have the victory. By the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, and every one of us can have it as well. You can do it. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. It doesn't matter if you have backslidden and repented and backslidden and repented. You can get to a place that you have a consistent, victorious Christian life from now until the day you die. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I found it to be so. Have you, saints? Have you all found God to be faithful to help you in time of temptation? I'd like to share some warfare tactics with you. Years ago, I remember a man who had had a religious background. This man was sharing with us that he was talking with a group of men, and they were all acting so holy, he said, and he was putting his top button up like that, like he was being so holy. And talking like how they could overcome temptation. And they asked me what I would do, he said. I said, I don't know. I would have to see when I got there. You know what that is? A recipe for failure. You don't wait until you get to the temptation to decide what you're going to do. So, we're talking about warfare tactics. This is a war. This is a war for your eternal soul. It's the difference of making heaven or being lost in hell, whether or not you learn the tactics of overcoming temptation. So one tactic is decide right now. I will overcome by the grace of God. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. I've decided now. I will never go back into sin. I'm not going to wait until I get into a certain circumstance and then decide what I'm going to do about it. I've already got my mind made up before I get to that point. Tactic number two, do not flirt in your mind with temptation. Do not ponder alternatives to overcoming the temptation. Do not consider what it would be like to give in to sin, to sit there and daydream about it. Don't think about what the benefits would be. Don't think about the possibility of backsliding. It's a recipe for failure. Tactic number three, store good things in your heart. Psalms 119 and 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, that's like arming yourself. It's like stockpiling ammunition. It's like strengthening yourself because you know a marathon is coming. Thy word. Did you notice that Mary, when she heard the words of Jesus, she pondered those things in her heart. What do you think she was doing? The day was coming. She was going to see him on the cross. She was going to witness his whipping. I think she needed something to prepare her for that day. What a temptation to hate those Roman soldiers, to hate the Jewish leaders. When Jesus came teaching love, she needed to prepare herself. So what was she doing? She pondered those things in her heart, and we need to do the same thing. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. You ever notice what Jesus used when Satan tempted him? What did he use? The Word of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It doesn't matter what the opinion polls are. It doesn't matter what peer pressure is. It doesn't matter what the laws are that are being passed, what the judges are deciding in the court. What matters is it is written, thou shalt or thou shalt not. Verse 10, then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Tactic number four, minimize temptation. Jesus taught us how to pray, didn't he? And Jesus' prayer that he taught us was not a real long wordy prayer. It was very concise. So since it was concise, I would think that everything contained in that prayer would be very important. I want you to notice what Jesus taught us in that prayer in Matthew 6 and 13. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It should be the prayer of every heart. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, don't even let me get close. Lord, it is not my desire to be tempted. The yearning of our heart is one of the tactics of our warfare in minimizing temptation. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6. Proverbs 7 and 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, where was he going? It says near her corner. And he went the way to her house. Verse 9, in the twilight. When did he go? He went in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Did you know there are some times that you are more susceptible to temptation than other times? In the black and dark night is when we need to be more careful, not less careful. If you ever have a sleepless night, I would encourage you not to entertain yourself by searching the internet. That can be the black and dark night, right? Passing through the street near her corner, you know, there are some places we know it's a good idea for me to avoid that place. There are some news stories that I would rather not know all the details, thank you. I don't need all that garbage in my mind. I don't even have to go there. And when he was going the way that went to her house, when he did it at the wrong time of day, what do you think happened? Is this a big surprise? Verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. This was not a faithful woman. This was not good wife material. It was a woman with a subtle heart that did not mind converting a man into a piece of bread, that did not mind breaking up marriages, that did not mind sacrificing people's integrity. This is the kind of woman he met because he went the wrong way and he chose to do it in a dangerous time. Tactic number 5 in warring against temptation. Open fire immediately. As soon as the enemy fires, don't just duck down, hunker down, oh, what am I going to do now? You return fire immediately. You can train yourself to go into automatic prayer mode. When Satan brings the thought, you can train your mind and your heart so immediately, oh Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Give me grace, Lord God. And that's like raining down machine gun fire on the head of the devil. He can't stand in front of that. In fact, the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what it's talking about. Learn to train yourself to go into immediate prayer mode. Just a nonstop barrage of prayer where you are interceding to heaven or pleading with heaven, I should say. Lord, have mercy on me. And what is this promise? My grace is sufficient for you. There's no temptation taken you but what's common to man. And with every temptation, I'll make a way of escape. All the promises are there, available to us. But we better be firing on the enemy. James 4 and 6. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Humble yourselves. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Tactic number 6 in overcoming temptation. Flee. Potiphar's wife enticed Joseph daily. Did you know one of the tactics of warfare is nonstop barrage of fire? Bombing in a terror campaign to where it's called shock and awe, where you send in so many bombers and you drop so many bombs so quickly that the people are just overwhelmed and ready to, okay, that's it. We can't handle all this. Satan uses that tactic against saints, where daily bombarding you over and over and over, think, okay, he didn't yield this day, or tomorrow I'm back again. So one of our tactics is flee. There are times that's the best thing to do. Get out of there. Genesis 39 and 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her. This man is one of my real heroes. I appreciate that man. Lord, help me to be just like Joseph. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do what? Because it was the dark of the night? Because he was going to a place he shouldn't go? No. He went into the house to do his business. That's what he was required to do, see? We have to live in this world. Jesus didn't pray to take us out of the world, but to keep us from the evil in the world. We have to go about and do our business. Joseph was doing that. He went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Joseph, how manly was that? You're stronger than the woman. Come on, negotiate with her. At least get your coat back. No. The tactic to be an overcomer in temptation in circumstances like this is flee. Get out of there. Leave the coat. Let her say what she wants to say. You don't need to prove you're strong that by staying there and overcoming the temptation. You prove you're strong by getting out of there where you don't belong. What do you value more? Your integrity? Your future? Your family? How about your marriage, young man? You value your marriage? You know, Satan may say, look, this fruit is so desirable. It can make one wise. Look, it's good for food. You know what he's really after? Your marriage. He's after your eternal soul. What do you value more? All these things that are so valuable to us. Your relationship with God. How valuable is that? How valuable is it when you need an answer to prayer for God to answer your prayer? Or do you value a moment of pleasure? There is a real blessing that comes from overcoming temptation. James 1 and 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What more could you possibly want than the crown of life? Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? At least that man had an understanding of what was more valuable than anything else in this world. I'll tell you who will inherit it. The man that endures temptation. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Balaam wanted honor. He wanted riches. Look, I'll send more noble princes. Anything you ask, Balaam. Here's my kingdom. What do you want? What good is it? Jesus is offering something so much better than that. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me. That's the Lord of all creation. That's the King of kings and Lord of lords. I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Sound like an opportunity? Anybody interested? Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus overcame, and he came to this earth so that every one of us could as well. The song says, be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict, you shall win the day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. Did you hear those words? You shall win the day. It doesn't matter what Satan has been telling you. Maybe you got some help in this meeting. Maybe you made a new start. And maybe the devil's already bombarding you, saying, you know you're not going to be able to stand. Can I share these words one more time? You shall win the day. You can do it. I want to encourage you tonight. This beautiful gospel is available to every one of us. It's not unique to some saint that's been saved for 50 years. It's available to everyone here tonight. To the young men that live in this evil time. To the young ladies that live in this evil time. You can do it. To the men that are on the job that face Potiphar's wife, you can do it. Every one of us, we can overcome and someday sit with the Lord in his throne. May God bless you tonight.